I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is April 4th, 2015. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today, an email exchange between myself and Baptist pastor Dave Malinak of Ogden, Utah. The email exchange began over a story regarding the role of the Mormon Church in Utah politics. My first email to Dave. Dave, here's my response to your statement in the comments section that followed that story. Mormons were humiliated after the Supreme Court declared that their victory in California, Proposition 8, was unconstitutional. They were ridiculed as the American Taliban. But the Mormons learned from their mistake and are at least making an attempt to evolve into modern, tolerant Christians. As a Baptist pastor, it is tragic to see that you are not. Here's some advice. You should try reading the New Testament sometime. That's the part where all the red print begins. It's not there because God ran out of ink. It's there because your monstrous God also evolved. If even that monster can change, then maybe there is some hope for someone like you. Can it get any more embarrassing than being lectured on how to be a Christian by an atheist? I don't think so. Dave Malinak replies to my email, and his comments are followed by my replies to his comments. He wrote, "I'm fine with getting email from you or hate mail. Dave, if it's all the same to you, I'll just stick with the email. But thanks for giving everyone a demonstration of the Christian persecution complex." And I provided him a link to the Christian persecution complex. Dave wrote, "I agree with you that the Mormon Church is evolving. I disagree that God is." Dave, in the Old Testament, your God wanted an eye for an eye. In the New Testament, his son, or he, wanted us to turn the other cheek. It sounds to me like your God evolved quite a bit during the intervening period. The difference between you and me is that I approve of the evolution, while you just proved above that you won't even admit that it occurred. Dave wrote, "But then you don't think he is either, since you don't believe in him to begin with." Dave, even though I don't believe he exists, at least I show respect to his believers by capitalizing pronouns that refer to him, as is customary. Dave wrote, "It has been rightly said that the atheist has two premises." Dave, you misunderstand atheism. It has no premises. It is a rejection of religious mythology. Nothing more, nothing less. Now Dave gives those two premises. God does not exist, and I hate him. Dave, the first half is almost correct. Since it is impossible to defend the assertion that God does not exist, the only rational atheist position is that there is insufficient evidence to believe that any God exists. That is not the same as claiming he does not exist. The second half is embarrassingly ignorant. How can one hate what one does not believe even exists? That makes no sense whatsoever. Dave continues, "I think your email demonstrates that," and he is referring to me hating God. Dave, that is because you misunderstood nearly everything I wrote. However, now that I have corrected those misunderstandings, it won't change a thing, will it? As long as you believe that you are being threatened with eternal torture by an evil, invisible monster, there's absolutely nothing anyone can do to help you. No matter how much we may wish to, there is simply no way for us to compete with threats from the spirit world. Millions of other former ghost worshippers have found the courage to free themselves from the horror that is Christianity. I hope that someday you may too. And here's the reply from Dave Malinak, followed again by my responses to his comments. Neo, thanks for the reply. I don't think I misunderstood what you wrote, but I do think you misunderstand your own arguments. On your website, you speak of hate as being a really powerful fuel. I am curious just what it is that you hate. Evil, Dave. I hate evil. Since the definition has so many nuances, I will try to put it in my own words as simply as I can. Actions taken, almost always by humans, against other living creatures, usually other humans, that intentionally harm them unnecessarily. That explanation recognizes that there are degrees of evil. Dave wrote, if it is the God of the Bible, Dave, I already explained in my last email why that is an illogical statement to make about an atheist. He wrote, I think you referred to God as an evil monster. Dave, there is no other way to describe a creature who has committed the atrocities that your God has confessed to in his autobiography. Evil monster perfectly describes the God in the Old Testament. Fortunately for planet Earth, there is no evidence that this horrible, murdering, torturing creature actually exists. Unfortunately, billions of delusional humans believe that he does. But what is beyond sick is that they actually worship this evil creature. Dave continues, then that is my point. Dave, you ignored the explanation in my previous email that I can't hate that which I don't believe exists. What I hate are the evil actions committed over thousands of years and continuing to this day by his believers, based on believing that they are doing what he wants them to do. Dave continues, if you hate those who worship him, then that would be me. Dave, you homophobes are fond of using the phrase, we don't hate the sinners, we hate the sin. So you should be able to understand this. I don't hate those who worship him. I hate the evil actions taken by some of those who worship him. Fortunately, Dave, most Christians are not like you, as you just found out when, by your own admission, lawmakers smiled and yesed you to your face and then turned around and rolled their eyes as they voted against you. The newspaper, again by your own admission, wouldn't even publish your bigoted, hateful crap. Below your comment, Dave, an anonymous Christian wrote, your response to this article is decidedly unchristian. Dave, even other Christians can't stand your guts. Mormons, known for their anti-gay bigotry, won't even have anything to do with you. You are an outcast, Dave. You are despised by both non-believers and Christians alike. And most of the people who are destroying your medieval world, Dave, are Christians. Gay marriage now has almost 60% approval in the United States. Where is all that support coming from? Atheists? They only make up 4%. Jews? 2%. Muslims? 1%. Who are the other 53%, Dave? Hindus? The recent acceptance of gay marriage is close to 60% in America is because of Christians. Were it not for them, gays would still be a long way from having the equal rights that the rest of us enjoy. Dave continues, I am curious about your kind of atheism. You say that atheism has no premises. That is a curiosity to me. The statement resembles a premise, but just for the sake of clarity, what exactly do you think a premise is? Define that term for me if you don't mind. Dave, I adhere to the definition as provided by dictionary.com. Premise, a proposition supporting or helping to support a conclusion. The definition of proposition, I supplied him a link to that definition. In my previous email, I stated that atheism was a rejection of religious mythology. Now, if you follow this link to the thesaurus entry for premise, and I provided him a link, you'll see that under the section antonyms, you will find the word rejection. Since rejection is an antonym of premise, it cannot, as you put it, resemble a premise, but is in fact the exact opposite of a premise. Dave continues, you claim that the only rational atheist position is that there is insufficient evidence to believe that any God exists. Then you say, how can one hate what one does not believe even exists? Which one is it? Dave, you have created a false dichotomy. Those two statements are not contradictory, as you seem to think. He wrote, are you agnostic or are you atheist? Dave, I am a rationalist. You can reread the definition here. And I provided him a link to my about page. Atheism is the only rational religious position for a rationalist. Dave wrote, the agnostic says that there is insufficient evidence for the existence of God. The atheist says there is no God. Dave, I don't know where you're getting your definitions from, but here is how an agnostic is actually defined. And I provided him a link to dictionary.com. And here is the definition for atheist. And I provided him another link to dictionary.com. Dave, as you can see, you weren't even close. He wrote, as far as the possibility of hating what one does not believe even exists, atheists have been doing just fine at that for many years now. Dave, it has become obvious that you ignore everything I say. Now that I think about it, I think the best thing for someone with your limited mental skills is simply to remain a ghost worshiper. After all, it's not like you have all that many other options. He continues, Christopher Hitchens would be the most recent case in point. I think Sam Harris is doing a pretty good job of it as well. Dave, you see hate in men who dare to challenge your childish beliefs. That is the essence of the defense called the Christian persecution complex. In the old days, you people had more effective ways to silence critics. But in a modern world, you have a much more difficult time using violence to control dissent. That is why Christianity is collapsing worldwide and why Islam is gaining rapidly. They still employ the old tried and true methods that Christians found so successful for centuries. Dave wrote, this is the point where I would encourage you to examine carefully what you yourself have written. Well, Dave, I might as well, because it's obvious that you aren't going to. You've ignored everything I've explained to you. It's clear that you have no hope of freeing yourself from the horror of your vile religion. Dave wrote, you say that the God of the Old Testament is a monster, and then you say that he doesn't exist. Damn, Dave, you are one dense dude. I was right earlier. Stay in the clergy. It's really the only option for a mind such as yours. Now he writes, or have I misunderstood everything you have written? No, Dave, I no longer believe that you did. I am now pretty certain that you are intentionally blinding yourself to words against which you have no defense. Dave wrote, as far as God's so-called evolution, I would point out what others such as Sam Harris have pointed out before, that Jesus was not the slightest bit embarrassed by the God of the Old Testament. Dave, Jesus outright disrespected his dad when he said in Matthew 5, verses 38 through 39, quote, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. End quote. Dave, when Jesus said, ye have heard it said, He was referring to his Father. It was God who said that. It was Jesus who was now telling them to shit-can what God said and instead follow what he was now telling them. Since most Christians believe that Jesus is God, that proves that they must believe that God did evolve. Dave wrote, "I hope you won't mind my quoting Sam's letter to a Christian nation on this point. Dave, I am not responsible for the writings of Sam Harris. If you want to debate him, I suggest you contact him." Dave continues by quoting Harris. "Many Christians believe that Jesus did away with all this barbarism in the clearest terms imaginable and delivered a doctrine of pure love and toleration. He didn't. In fact, at several points in the New Testament, Jesus can be read to endorse the entirety of Old Testament law." And now Dave writes, Mr. Harris goes on to cite passages in Matthew and Timothy as evidence. As a student of the New Testament, so Dave, you admit that you have read it. That means you have just discarded your only excuse. Now you have to explain why you choose to follow the Father's hateful writings about gays and ignore Jesus' teachings to love your neighbors. That would be the verse without the gay disclaimer. He wrote, I absolutely agree with Sam on this. Well, Dave, I just gave you two verses from Matthew that prove you are both wrong. Hey, here's an idea. Maybe at your next Tea Party Christians NASCAR event, you can get together with some other homophobes and get those two verses removed. After all, it's been way too long since the councils of Nicaea. A new version, with all the embarrassing stuff removed, is long overdue. He wrote, in fact, Harris missed some other proof texts that would have made his case even stronger, like Mark 7:10. Dave, about those texts, you wouldn't happen to have any originals, would you? Of any of the 66 biblical books? No? The reason I ask is because I find it strange that an all-powerful God would provide humanity with the most important book imaginable and then not protect it. Every single original has been lost. Hammurabi's code is much older, yet the original can still be found in the Louvre in Paris. It sounds like his invisible ghosts were more powerful than your invisible ghost, or at least more protective. Dave wrote, Jesus did not do away with the law and judgment found in the Old Testament. Dave, and that's the part that condemns Jesus to the same prison for evil as his Father. I say life without parole for both of them. Dave wrote, he was a hellfire and damnation preacher, unlike any other in the New Testament. Dave, that was the understatement of the century. That dude could water ski without a boat. It's better if you try to visualize it. Dave continues. See, for example, his story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, or Christ's sermon in Mark 9, where he repeatedly says that their worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched. Sorry, Dave, but I get depressed at the thought of sacrificing any more of my time to reading ancient, gruesome fairy tales when I could be reading about amazing science discoveries, which occur with increasing frequency. He wrote, the wrath of God against sin is revealed in the New Testament, and it is revealed more plainly than in the Old. Dave, it isn't his wrath against sin that worries me as much as his unquenchable, murderous wrath against just about any human he came in contact with. That is one seriously sick, murderous monster that you worship. Dave wrote, certainly we also find grace and love and supreme kindness revealed in the New Testament. But it would be false to say that we find no grace in the Old Testament. Good point, Dave. When God murdered every living human on earth during the flood, sometimes people forget that he mercifully spared 8 people. He wrote, rather, the grace of the Old Testament is revealed more fully in the New. Dave, about 90% of the Old Testament is about God killing people or watching them beget. I think that by the time we get to the New Testament, the best explanation is just that God was running out of energy. He wrote, "The truth is that the Old Testament edicts, such as an eye for an eye, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die, are more fully carried out in the New Testament, particularly in the death of Jesus Christ." Dave, thanks for bringing up one of God's shining moments. Not content with killing just about every human who couldn't hide from him in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, God has his own son tortured and killed. What a great guy, huh? He wrote, Isaiah said that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Dave, think about that for just a second. How fucking sick is that? You want to know what's even sicker? In your mind right now, you are racing to find excuses for him. That is what religion does to many humans like you. It turns them into sick, twisted caricatures of real people. I can't hate your imaginary friend, but I can hate what belief in him has done to billions of unfortunate humans. He wrote that he made his soul an offering for sin. In the New Testament, we are told that God made Jesus Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Dave, there is no moral code on earth that punishes people for the crimes of their ancestors. None. Christianity is the only one that is vile enough to promote such a disgusting moral rule. You people are beyond sick. If we lived on a rational planet, you people would be getting the psychiatric help you so desperately need. Unfortunately, that world is a long, long way off. Dave continues, "The wrath of God against sin, as is revealed in the Old Testament, is poured out on Jesus Christ by God. That is the grace of the New Testament, that Christ took our sin and put himself in our place as our substitute, and made his soul an offering for sin." Dave, thanks for providing yet another horror of Christianity. The moral teaching that it is okay to escape punishment as long as someone else takes the punishment for you. What a wonderful message to give to our kids. Dave wrote, "The God of the Old Testament is no monster." Dave, you had to say that, didn't you? As long as you believe that this evil, invisible monster is sitting right beside you this very minute, watching every word you type and hearing every thought you think, and he has the power to send you to eternal torture, there is nothing anyone on earth can do to help you. No matter how grotesque his actions or inhuman his punishments, you will never admit the obvious. You will defend slavery and excuse genocide. You have to. Your eternal salvation depends on it. Dave, a worm has a better life than you. You people would be deserving of pity were it not for the horrors you have inflicted upon humanity. And Dave concludes by writing, "God just tells the truth about sin and its consequences, a truth that men don't like." Dave, not everyone finds their niche in life. Congratulations on finding yours. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, the teeth of the humble, snail-like sea creature called the limpet are the strongest natural material known to man. Researchers examine the mechanics of limpet teeth by pulling them apart all the way down to the level of the atom. They found that the teeth of the limpet, common to shorelines and rock pools around the world, are potentially stronger than spider silk, which was previously thought to be the strongest biological material. Scientists believe the structure could be reproduced in high-performance engineering, such as in racing cars, planes, and boat hulls. The study found that the teeth contain a hard material known as goethite, which forms in the limpet as it grows. Limpets need the high-strength teeth when the tide is in to rasp over rock surfaces and remove algae for feeding. Lippitt's teeth were also found to be the same strength, no matter what their size. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today we have an anonymous quote. When a cult gains enough members that they can openly commit most of the atrocities that they once had to hide, it becomes a religion.
Are you ready, Goose?